when we edited the pod, we both kind of split it in half and we had a look at the podcast with Ricky Saunders from Correspondent Week last year, where I was absolutely certain that I'd said Son will win the Golden Boot. I didn't.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Bertrand's Cooney. Right.
I want you before next season to really work on your intros.
No.
They're getting worse.
No.
Okay, let's have some fun on this one.
Come on, I want Slack. I don't want Patreon. I was trying to log into the Patreon app to answer the questions, but it's not. Right, pod questions. Where do we go? Let's see how many questions we have or haven't had. I was really curious as to whether we'd get a lot of questions or not a lot of questions.
I bet there's loads.
Based on the fact that it's the end of the season. I would say not. I think it's normal. I think it's just an average amount.
We'll ask one while you're thinking about it.
What a debut on the pod. That's David Cole's
Dave last week trying to get him on the huddle, wasn't it?
I still need to
figure this huddle shit out.
It's about as good as Jonathan Woodgate's debut for Real Madrid, according to David. What actually happened in the end? We never figured that shit out.
No, I need to look at it again. I don't know if, like, I'm a bit concerned that if you invite everyone to the huddle, then everyone's in. And, like, if one person doesn't, like, mute their mic or whatever, then, well, not mic, but just mute themselves, then it's just going to be chaotic noise. I need to look into it.
Billy Hathaway. Who'd win in a fight? The guy with no knees or the guy with no elbows? I know the answer to this, James, but I'm interested in hearing your answer.
One week later, here we are again. The guy with no elbows
would not win.
Would win.
Would not win.
You're saying would not.
I'm telling you, would not win.
Why?
Because
the guy with no elbows can use his feet, can kick.
Correct. But
the guy with no knees can't move.
No, you know, he can move, can't he? He just has to move, like, with big strides.
So he's only got a chance if the other person hasn't got no knees.
Yeah. In fighting...
No, I'm not having it.
In fighting, look, I'm by no means, listeners, an expert in the art of jiu-jitsu or fighting or MMA, but I have watched plenty in the last 4 or 5 months to tell you that generally in UFC or MMA, your goal... If you're a good jiu-jitsu fighter, which is grappling on the floor, which is choking, strangling, or arm locks, i.e. bending your arm or leg in a position that will break, which means the person will tap before it gets broken, is done on the ground. Like, the goal is take the fight to the ground as quickly as possible. That's your goal in MMA, if you're a good wrestling fighter, which the majority of people are. So what's easier... Like, when you're on the ground and your arms are locked, you can't do nothing, mate.
The
guy with no knees can charge you and just take the fight to the ground as quickly as possible. Once you're on the ground, your legs are useless.
Nah, you haven't thought this through, right? You've got a guy sitting on the floor because he's got no knees, right? His legs are flat. He can't really shuffle around quickly, right?
But he doesn't need to.
No, the guy with no elbows, right? He can just run around the back of him and kick him in the back of the head.
No, but once the fight is on the ground, it doesn't make a difference because you try and get on top and pin them to the ground.
Mate, don't matter. What's he going to do? Drag him to the ground, like, with his hands behind his back? He's not going to be strong enough to do that.
Okay. So we will settle this, right? So my gym, the jiu-jitsu gym, has a lot of
I'm not kicking you in the back of the head.
And there's a WhatsApp group, and I'm going to put it in the WhatsApp banter group as a debate.
You might get blocked.
They're good lads. They'll have a laugh. But I'm telling you that all the damage that can get done, anything bad that can happen to you in a fight, not like street fight, kicking the balls type, will happen from your waist to your neck. Like, that's where you can get fucked up. And so that's why you need your elbows to be able to do damage in that area of the body. Trust me, it's the guy with no knees would win.
No.
Assuming he can get the fight to the ground.
No. Kick him in the back of the head. That's it. Game over.
I'm sure there are a few patrons with some fighting skills that might be in a position to back me up. I think Newcastle... I think Newcastle's most needed position to strengthen is right wing. Do you agree? Who would fit them better, Rafinha or Ismaël Assar? Or would they recruit from abroad? I mean,
Rafinha by distance.
Rafinha and Saint-Maximin in the same team with Joel Linton in the middle.
Yeah, mate, why not? Sounds like fun.
Sexy. I think, yeah, right wing. They probably want a better goalkeeper. Dubravka's not a bad goalkeeper, but they might want a level up in goalkeeper.
I wonder if Newcastle might, not this summer, but consider going beyond, beyond players like Rafinha is very harsh. But what I mean by that is going beyond perhaps picking off the smaller cherries and actually going for some of the bigger ones, i.e. targeting someone like Riyad Mahrez.
Lauren, thoughts on Gary Neville putting Walker and Robertson in his team of the season ahead of Trent and Cancelo? Which two of these four would you choose? I think Cancelo's got to be in there.
Like, literally, I watched that and I couldn't believe what I was watching. I mean, I said that on the pod last
Tuesday.
I don't
know if Trent's had his best season, but at the start of the season, he definitely was on fire.
It doesn't matter. Whatever combination, Cancelo has to be in now. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't know what he was going through. He kept going on about, I think Andy Robertson's the best left back in the league and stuff. Hold on, you picked the fucking team of the season, mate. It's all right if you think Robertson's better, but João Cancelo has to be in this team somewhere, whatever side of the pitch you put him on.
Jarvo, does anyone else think there's legs in a new feature where James Plan FPL does dramatic readings of footballers and wives and girlfriends' tweets?
Oh, this is in response to me reading Colleen's. Oh, what's happened with that?
You've definitely got a face for being a voiceover artist.
I've definitely got a face for radio, yeah. This is why I'm good at podcasting.
Do you know what? There's like that app where, I can't remember what it's called, but I'll find out, where you can pay people to, celebrities, to do birthday messages and shit like that. I'm sure you've seen it. You pay like 50 quid or whatever.
I'm on there, you know that.
You should be. You can get some really shit old footballers for like 20 quid. For 20 quid, they'll record you a 2 or 3 minute message or whatever. Should we get ourselves on there? Make a bit of side hustle money. Yeah, there's definitely a feature in it, Jarvo, and I reckon we might... I don't know. You know, like voicemail recording, greetings and all that kind of thing we could do for people. But let's see. Business for another day. Planet FPL. This is FPL Failure. What's your opinion on pitch invasions? They're shit. With the horrible footage of Billy Sharp being assaulted after the playoff game, there surely needs to be more done to try and stop it happening. Of course.
I'm going to skip this because it's highly likely to be a people's poll topic, potentially.
You see the way that, like Frankfurt, for example, they encourage it, they let them all line up and whatever. What I didn't understand at Frankfurt is they're taking the seats out to let them all stand before the game. I don't know if you saw that in our game. Like, there was footage in the crowds, and they're basically taking banks of chairs, plastic seats, and just passing them from all the way in the stand to the front, and they're just stacking them all up because they don't want the seats in there.
Yeah, in a lot of German stadiums, so this is at Dortmund, for example. Obviously, in the Bundesliga, it's standing terracing, the main home end. It has to be seated for Champions League. So the seating that goes in is temporary.
So that was probably Europa's the same, right?
Yeah. That's why you will have seen it that way.
Understood. David Beaton, perhaps an impossible question, but where do you think the Ukraine team's heads will be in a couple of weeks when we play them at Hampden? Getting nervous now with no KT.
It's impossible to say, right? Because you've got people like Zinchenko's, obviously fitness is fine and stuff, but those who've been playing in Russia or Ukraine or something, where they at, right? Mm. No idea. So, I mean, I would expect Scotland to beat them.
Agreed. Therapy FPO. Is David Cole still stuck? That's the end. Stuck in Hudson talking to his wife. Oh dear. David Beaton, could Fulham lose on penalties to Frankfurt in the Europa?
Yes, David. Fulham would have lost in like last 5 minutes of extra time. There you go.
John, Mr. Jakobsen says, would you prefer to take a penalty in a final against the hostile away and booing and jeering, or in a 70,000 seat stadium that is full but silent?
A penalty, you want calm, don't you? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think you want calm.
You want calm.
Yeah. Someone's ringing me from Stoke-on-Trent, mate. I don't know
who it
is.
Do you want to answer it?
Nah. It's definitely, it could be about my toothbrush. Oh, shit. I immediately knew, this is Shifo, that Ramsey was going to miss his PK from his body language and strange run-up. So what penalties do you remember knowing the player was going to miss before kicking it and he missed? That lastminute.com against Leicester, was it Lookman for us? Or was it Ever?
Fulham.
Sorry. Yeah, we'd obviously gone and scored at the other end.
He'd miss even though it was against you.
Yeah. His body, like the whole scenario of it, last minute. They were obviously doing shit at the time as well. I felt like that was one where I was like, he ain't going to miss.
Sorry, this is going to be unpopular, but at Saka last summer.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
It was like Pickford said, oh my God, we're still in it. And then Saka's went up. And to be honest, the whole of the bar I was in was like, fuck.
I felt like Mahrez was going to miss the other week against City. Do you know why? Because it's one of them where everyone's like, why the fuck isn't De Bruyne taking the penalty? You know, and when you feel like everyone else thinks that you shouldn't be taking the penalty.
What penalty? I can't even think, mate.
Man City, West Ham, Fabianski.
Oh, against you.
Yeah. Whenever the player that steps up, everyone's thinking, why the fuck are you taking it and not Mahrez?
Mahrez is first choice.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be. De Bruyne should be taking penalties.
Mahrez scored a late penalty against us in February, so...
De Bruyne should be taking penalties. Who would you rather?
You tell Kevin De Bruyne.
I'll tell him. Gary Mantle, do you have any what-if moments from the season? For example, I wonder how many different things... have been for Lukaku if he didn't get injured.
Sorry.
Just as our great run of fixtures was kicking in.
Sorry, I really stopped listening because to the left of me, Nico just dropped his headphones off his head. And you know when you do that instinctive panic to try and catch something?
Oh, okay, I missed it. I was too busy reading.
What was the question?
We need to introduce you to the...
Any what-if moments
What
this
if
year?
This had happened? Yeah. What if West Ham had bought a striker in the fucking transfer?
Oh, this isn't FPL, this is just generally.
Yeah, well, Gary's saying, what if Lukaku hadn't got injured before their great run of fixtures?
What if
Lukaku hadn't done an interview saying he'd rather be at Inter Milan?
What if Yuri Tielemans had passed the ball backwards? Rather than them thinking, we're going to try and win it in 10 seconds. That's the biggest sliding doors moment of the season for me, isn't it? The Bergwijn winning goal at Leicester. Gotta be.
Jarvo, what workplace gadget or accessory do you think is the most important for your office or home office? I need some inspiration. I don't know what you're going with there, Jarvo. Because like a wireless mouse or like a Apple iPad. There's a big difference. One of them's like £700-800 and the rest, and one of them's 50 quid.
I'm shit with tech, not in the bad.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Be more specific, Jarvo. But I think a Bluetooth speaker.
I love Jarvo. He tagged me and he said, I'm not going to make it into your stream. Can I ask a question? Like, of course, mate, we're mates. I said, DM me. He didn't DM me. I thought, what's fucking wrong with the boy? Anyway, he was there on the stream, wasn't he?
FPL cricketer, how many goals would Alonso score if he was playing up front for a mid-table side? He seems to have the movement and finishing ability to go to make a go of it.
For a mid-table side?
Yeah.
Not that many.
10, 12 goals? Still decent. I think he'd get 10, 12. He gets 10, 12.
Would he get more than...
Get more than Antonio?
No, probably not. No.
Yeah, he would.
No, the thing is, a lot of Alonso's goals are just attacking things at the back post and stuff. So if you're asking him to be the hold-up player with his back to goal and stuff, it's completely different. So it doesn't work like that. So the answer would be no, not that many.
Dylan F., if you could give your 18-year-old selves advice now, what would it be?
Start podcasting.
18?
Yes. You could have saved yourself. Stop fucking wasting the last 15 years of your life. You could have just started this shit a lot earlier. You'd have a million Twitter followers by now.
But at 18, you might have been chatting a lot more shit.
Probably would have said some things that would have been regretful. Yeah, I might have grown up a lot.
Cancelled you.
I might have grown up a lot quicker as well. By the way,
yeah. Invest in yourself. Dylan, there's a lot of content out there that helps people become better human beings, whatever that may be. So invest in yourself, like personal development. That's my advice. Shifo, next season, could you please remind those who said they'll never own Zaha again not to get him when we scored? Is it 3-3? It definitely
something
lost
like that.
Yeah,
he's done it. Assist in the double, goal the weekend, week before.
He scored, didn't he? He scored before the double game week.
35 he scored at Southampton, didn't he? Or was that 36?
No, it was the week before the double game week, 35.
Yeah, so I mean, it's fine.
Sam, how does...
Oh, no, Watford at home he scored as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored a few, mate. That's
so he's returned in the last four game weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to skip Sam O'Sullivan's question because it's about pitch invasions. Gary Mantle, what's the best way to make up a squad? Two of the same type of player to enable rotation or different options for each position to enable change in system?
It depends quite a lot on positioning. So, like, centre-back, you want similarity and familiarity. Offensively, you want perhaps more variations. I can't really put it much different to that.
FPL Mango, how is James finding playing football regularly after his break away from it?
All right, yeah.
And will he keep playing regularly after game week 39?
To be honest, I haven't started playing again because of game week 39. It just came up that it was the right time to go back and start doing it again. I guess that gave me a little bit of a push. Plus we were out of Europe, right? The weather started getting better.
Thursday nights, you got back. I think there was a question
Thursday
on,
nights I don't have to worry about next year. It's the same as the Gooners don't have
to
worry about.
Well, until after Christmas,
of course. Tottenham's going, Bernabeu, Arsenal's watching, Emmerdale. Next.
That's got to be one of the shittest chants I've ever heard. If Forrest get promoted, will Mark actually be the correspondent? Yeah, I mean, if he's up for it, we're up for it.
I probably have to tread carefully. Me and Mark have not spoken about it. And I do suspect...
Oh, it's all public tweets.
No, someone tweeted him. I think it was one of our patrons, another Mark, tweeted him and said, are you plugging to be the Forest correspondent? And you probably remember Mark spoke so highly of Correspondent Week last year and the year before. He loved it. He tuned into everyone, 100%. He listened to them all. And he'd obviously come back. He said, if they'll have me, I'm going to push for it and stuff. So I just quote tweeted it with the eyes. Me and Mark haven't spoken about it at all. I think if they go up and he wants it, yes, I'd certainly. It's the same when Adam Hotcroft came to me and said, I really want to do the Villa. And I was like, yeah, of course, mate. Yeah, absolutely. So if Mark wants to do it, I'm not going to go no, am I? I'd thinking as well, for the other correspondents, how cool will it be for them to do the pod with Mark and stuff?
Of course.
Yeah. If Mark wants it, he can have it.
Tom.
And obviously as well, it'll come in the Slack then as well.
Tom, where would the Liverpool team that started against Southampton finish at the end of the season? Where would the Liverpool team
that started against Southampton? You
know, like the rotated Liverpool team. Sixth or seventh, sure.
Fifth, sixth, something like that, yeah.
I think so. There's still good firepower in that team.
Yeah, I think probably behind Tottenham, Arsenal,
Do we want to do this one?
Still better than Man United, though.
Oh, yeah.
So,
what would your England 11 be if we were to play the World Cup final tomorrow?
Oh, God.
Pickford?
Yes.
Trent or Reece James? Reece James.
What system are we playing?
Let's play a 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. 4-3-3. No, 4-2-3-1.
No, I think we're playing back three, aren't we?
4-2-3-1.
I think we're playing back three.
Because I know Rice and Phillips will play in front of the back four. So 4-2-3-1.
I think we're playing back three.
Pickford, Maguire.
To be honest, yes. Pickford, Maguire, Stones, and Cole Walker as a back three. Excuse me.
Reece James.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, I've spoken about this so many times.
Ben Chilwell's fit again, so Chilwell on the left.
Yep, not. I'm just
Rice
not.
Rice and Phillips in the middle.
I mean, it's disgusting to not have Trent in, but I'm not big on the idea of Trent at wing back. So, yes, Reece James, Ben Chilwell. Midfield's Rice and Phillips.
Harry Kane up top.
Harry Kane up top. And then, to be honest, for England, I think Raz still goes in. And then.
On the right. Raz will be on the left.
Whatever. Either. And then it's.
Sancho, Foden.
No, it's Mount or Foden.
Yeah. Harbour Boy, what has been the nicest, most well-behaved, most disciplined Premier League team this season? The team with the least on and off field drama, infringements, scandals, arguments, etc.
Burnley. Did you hear what happened on Clash of Correspondents last week? Ricky mentioned it, didn't he? He says about, oh, Burnley ain't had a red card this year or something. Oh, it's fucking coming tonight. And sure enough, it did. I'm sure Jack won't thank him for that. Yeah, I guess Burnley. Fuck it.
Shifo, I thought my team were quite well behaved, but then I remembered our centre back kicked a cat in the face.
He's been done as well.
Yeah, for animal cruelty.
Yeah. Why? I mean, obviously.
It's like, yeah, why do referees use long socks when they don't wear shin guards? I find long socks more comfortable than short socks.
What a great question that is. That's got to be down to a presentation in terms of them not looking scruffy or something. It's got to be, isn't it?
I prefer longer socks to shorter socks as a general rule for socks, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very fair question.
Calf length.
I think, yeah, it's to do with look like the players and look smart, I think.
Javo, unlimited free transfers during the World Cup for FPL. If they did this, do you think they would freeze prices? They didn't when it was the lockdown shit.
Nah. It's something I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks that actually makes sense. Because otherwise, we're all holding our wild card to do it during that point, aren't we? I think so.
Yeah.
I think that will be the difference again next year will be, yes, there'll still be two wild cards. And I think they would, again, to keep people engaged, and they want people to come back after the World Cup, right? Again, we're not the target market. I think, yes, they want to keep people's interest so everybody comes back and basically has their own wild card from that point. There's a real danger with that. You know what it is, don't you? It's like Sky. We'll have the same team.
Gary Mantle, can you name the five players who have played for and against the Premier League title winners in the same season?
Yes.
Trivia quiz question.
I can. Yes, it was a trivia question that I put in.
Ah, okay.
And people are still guessing, so I'm not going to say.
Okay, fair play.
But it's, for those who watched Talking Tactics last week, it's in there.
Dan L. Arteta hasn't reached the 70 points that Arsenal did under Emery in three tries. Does Emery deserve more credit?
Listen, Unai Emery is a very good football manager. He was just a very, very bad fit for Arsenal. That's it.
Ralph Rannick once again talked about the lack of mentality and team spirit after the game. That was a bad appointment, if anything. But says there's no evidence of lack of professionalism off the pitch. Does it seem as though he has tried to take no blame whatsoever? He's just a nothing burger, isn't he?
Oh, he's just going to be remembered as a stopgap nothing, yeah.
Yeah. What were your favourite Premier League games of the season, both for your teams and ones you watched as a neutral? Have a wonderful summer and thanks for all the content.
In terms of excitement, our games at Leicester and Man City, the 2-2 at home to Liverpool was an amazing game as well. Neutral... To be honest with you, Liverpool City games are just top level, just been
intense,
fantastic. Some of them Real Madrid Champions League games. I mean, particularly the second leg with Chelsea in the Bernabeu was great. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say probably the Liverpool City games. Arsenal losing at Palace, Arsenal losing at Southampton, Arsenal losing at Newcastle, Arsenal losing at home to Brighton.
Wow. How do you survive with so much hatred in your heart?
Arsenal,
you need to learn to love a little more.
Arsenal getting battered everywhere they go at White Hart Lane.
I think the 3-2 at Chelsea, the 3-2 win over Chelsea at our place was...
Oh, do you know what? I've thought of one. Arsenal losing to Everton.
Has anyone ever won the goal? Oh, this is a pointless question because it's been answered in the replies with about six different players who won the Golden Boot without scoring a penalty. Javo, had this corker from my missus tonight. I think I'm going to stop cleaning now. Every time I clean, it just gets dirty again. What's the best unintentionally funny one-liner you've heard from your wives? Oh, that's a good one. I was...
Unintentional funny one-liners.
Sunday, I took the kids for ice cream. Like at 3 o'clock, the teams were released. 3:10, I'd done my Sky team. I said, "We'll pop out, get ice cream, get home 4 o'clock for the football."
I did. So best we were driving, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
What time was it?
About 3:30.
Oh, that's good of me.
On the way to the ice cream, and I was like, yeah, we'll get home. It's the last day of the season today. And then she says to me, didn't you want to go to the game today? It's away, love. I think she felt like the way she asked me was as if like I'd not gone to the football so I could spend the day with them or something like that. And I was like, nah, it's away, love. And then just after that, you know what that means? We're playing at their stadium, but I didn't want to sound like a prat in case she thought I was being patronising.
I had an ex who said to me, I think it was before Euro 2008. It must have been because it was when we didn't qualify. I think she was like, who do you want to win? As obviously England hadn't qualified. And I had some money on Croatia, so I said Croatia. And she said, oh, I hope Brazil win it. Don't worry, Sidge hasn't got the punchline, but I'm sure.
Euros. Okay, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of the listeners did.
Gary Robinson, appreciate there was a lot at stake, but having all 10 games on felt so much more exciting than the usual drip feed we get. Is there an argument for both TV fans and match-going fans to have 7 3 p.m. Saturday games a week? Maybe the three TV games, make the three TV games more special, help match-going fans and help teams in Europe.
I mean, from a fan perspective, obvious. From helping teams from a schedule perspective, obvious. But TV pays, so TV will...
They still get their free games.
TV will... Yeah, but there's not, is there? I mean, in a given week, you could have Friday night, Saturday lunchtime, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon twice over, and Monday night. In theory, it could be six games live on any weekend. So it's not going to happen. Tottenham might actually have a 3 p.m. Saturday home game next season. It is possible.
Gary Robinson, could Kane be a differential next season? I think he's got onto something here because so many will gravitate towards Haaland. But I mean, price dependent, right? I think so many will gravitate towards him and you're going to want Salah or what have you. So it becomes, I think you have to go against Haaland to go
Kane. What happens if suddenly Lewandowski rocks up in the league? Well, what happens if suddenly we get some sort of merry-go-round where, say, Salah does go to Madrid and then Liverpool buy Kane or Liverpool go for Lewandowski or something like that? I don't know. Then that changes the game again, doesn't it? Yes, of course he could be. I imagine Harry Kane's ownership, unless his price drops, will be low game week one. But then it depends on the fixture stuff as well, right? If Tottenham are at home to Bournemouth game week one or something, for example, then people are possibly going to want it. You know, if City are, I don't know, away to Arsenal and Tottenham have got Bournemouth at home or something, that's impossible. Bad example. Let's say City are at Arsenal and Tottenham are away to Bournemouth even. Then there's a choice, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Shifo, when we talked about this earlier, he says, so don't you think Conference League is better than Europa next season? I mean, no disrespect, but usually one of the bigger teams who drop into the Europa win it, like Barca or Dortmund or Napoli. Not every year that these teams get knocked out, but I think you've got a better chance of winning the Conference than the Europa. I said it on the pod earlier today. You want to play at the highest possible level, but we're transitioning into regular European football. If we get in the Europa, do the best you possibly can. If we get in the Conference, win it. And I think that's right. So, yeah, I agree with you. It does sound defeatist a little bit, but it's not. I don't feel like it is. I want to go and try and win it.
Of course you should.
Turfy Topper. Which Burnley player will the Premier League...
But you should also treat the group stage like it's irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, let's wait and see what the draw is.
Yeah.
Shifo says Villarreal are in it next year. But I think it'll be seeded, won't it, the group draw?
I mean, you wouldn't get them in a group. That's,
yeah.
Your coefficient has obviously jumped quite a bit this year. Yeah.
We'll
talk about it on Tottenham season.
Turfy Topper, which Burnley player will the Premier League miss the most? Nick Pope. But then, and we're working off the assumption that none of them get signed up.
Which Burnley player? Ashley Barnes.
No, will miss
the Premier League does not miss Ashley Barnes.
I think Nick Pope. But I think Pope will get signed up. I could see him going to like Newcastle, maybe. They wanted to upgrade their keeper.
They are looking for one. Yeah, it could be.
Pope, he could be a good shout. And or Maxwell Cornet.
And or. So who was the first one?
Pope.
Oh, Pope, yeah. And or Cornet apparently has got a 17.5 million release clause if anyone wants to pay it, apparently.
Someone will.
You would think so, yeah.
Someone will.
Nothing, isn't it, really?
Joe, I'm a Batman. What are your favourite and least favourite memories of Mike Dean?
Favourite and least favourite? Least favourite, knowing that any contact in the box he was probably going to give it. I remember him giving you a penalty against us, and it was one of them soft ones. It was a little pull in the box. It's normally one of the ones, a little bit like the Cedric one, you normally get away with it. But he was always so hot on like shirt pulling and stuff for a little while, so he gives it. And to be fair, he gave us one in injury time, which was a big call. It was the right call. But the best one is obviously when he celebrated when Moussa Dembélé scored against Aston Villa. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. When he was trying to play an advantage, but he ended up like running away, like proper pointing, like he was pointing his one finger in the air, like he'd scored the goal himself. What a dick! When he said it was him that sent Souček off, wasn't it, at Fulham last year?
Oh yeah.
Fuck's sake! I'm sure that was Mike Dean.
Right, Ian.
I might FPL, have done wrong thinking about it more now. Go on.
FPL PTSD. Do you believe in ghosts?
I've told you this story before about that pub I was in Hartford.
I believe in ghosts.
And me and another girl, I sound like I've had loads, don't I? Not really. When I told her that I'd had this, the pub was on fire, I opened the door and all the smoke had gone, and then she saw it with me. I opened the door and we're both looking back at each other and the smoke disappeared in front of our eyes. Like, I cannot explain that to you. That legitimately happened. Other than that, I fucking don't.
Do you like horror movies?
Yes, I do like horror, yeah.
I don't really watch a lot, no. Adam Seabright, what random unexpected player seems to always turn it on against your team? For Saints, weirdly, it's Ayoze Perez.
Who's his sport?
Probably Southampton.
Did he say he's a Saints fan?
No.
Who asked the question?
He just said Alan Seabright.
Who does Alan support?
I'm not sure.
Oh, fuck. Feel bad. Sorry, Alan. What player always turns it on against us? We've had a few down the years. Like Perez always scored against us. Vieira feels like he got about 50% of his goals for Arsenal against us.
Now I understand Vardy, where this hatred in your heart comes from. Being beaten by Arsenal.
Jamie Vardy feels like one. I don't know if there's anything in that or not. Shearer always used to score against us back in the 90s, especially when he was at Blackburn.
Used to be Raheem Sterling used to love scoring against us.
To be fair, Shearer used to score against everyone.
Yeah. I felt like Raheem Sterling used to score a lot against us, but in recent times, I mean, he's not been getting the minutes, but don't like Raheem Sterling. Seems to have to find a way of getting in behind a lot. Danielle, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Did you see the Kane stat last week?
No.
So, I mean, I always say people go on about it more. Not only is Harry Kane obviously comfortably the highest scorer in North London derby history now, no one has scored more goals against Arsenal than him in the Premier League from all clubs. He must fucking hate him.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how hungover are you, James?
It's what, nearly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, it's beginning to hit a bit now. I've just been drunk for most of the day.
Dylan, what's your next steps if you're a Southampton owner?
Oh, that's a good question. Calm. Investment in the squad, more young players. Consider perhaps taking a big money deal. If they can get silly for Ward-Prowse, I'm talking 60 million-ish or so. I think that's kind of in the silly level. Then I think they should really consider it and reinvest into the squad. That's the big thing. A lot of the time they sell their best players and they don't reinvest back in properly. I think like now they will.
Mark Dorney, I'm hoping for Cucurella. He's obviously a Tottenham fan like you. I know City fancy him. Or Cash, Matty Cash. But what two realistic buyers would you both bring in to take your respective teams to the next step?
Well, Antonio Conte wants Bastoni from Inter. So if Antonio Conte wants him, I want him. I've seen that it was reported a couple of weeks ago that even Perisic should agree to deal with Chelsea. And I see he's come back up and Romano's mentioned him about being like that we want him, even though it sounded like the deal with Chelsea is probably done. He's old now. and he's not the profile player that Tottenham would normally go for. But Antonio Conte is not going to be here forever. And if Antonio Conte thinks Perisic can play left wing back for us for a year, I'm all over that. You know I'm a massive fan of Perisic. He's still a top level player. So there you go. Realistic. Jed Spence, heavily linked. Apparently Fraser Forster is coming our way now.
Oh, fair play.
It was going to be Sam Johnson. Apparently it's now going to be Fraser Forster. Apparently.
You only buy an English.
We need an English. Everyone needs an English goalkeeper. Seriously.
I would like to see the Blackburn striker Diaz potentially come in. I'll take a striker. I'll take any striker. I won't take any striker, a decent striker, but I'd like one that's played in English football rather than getting one from overseas and who's physical.
I think Declan Rice would be a good signing for us as well.
Of course. Your chairman is too tight to pay the money, and you
imagine
know it.
Yeah, Antonio, you want 100 million? Fine, 100 million. Slap it all on Declan Rice. Fuck, mate.
I'm going to... This is one for Tottenham for tomorrow, listeners, but you were saying that if we bought Dennis, he wouldn't be first choice or what have you. I'm going to call Mikel Antonio out as starting to develop and become a fraud. We need an upgrade on the striker.
Mikel Antonio is a fraud.
No, he's starting to become a fraud.
Where have you been for the last 6 months?
Not just an FPL
Mate,
in football.
Since that guy tried to give us the big one on the train about Antonio being better than Kane, he's not really been hitting the net. Mind you, great goal we got yesterday.
It was a good finish, and he's ticked. He's not like he's done nothing. He's drip fed, not ticked along. He's drip fed, but I think it's. We'll talk about it on Tottenham. Tune in tomorrow, patrons, I should say. I don't know why I like to call them Patreons, but they're patrons.
You've got that American twang in your accent, like
Josh,
my son.
Would you? What would be the combined 11 out of Norwich, Watford, and Burnley? and would it avoid relegation?
Oh my God,
Pope.
Yeah.
Right back, Aarons.
No,
you take a
big, massive decline.
Burnley.
Roberts.
Yeah. Tarkowski.
Yeah, you could make a case for Hanley. You could make a case for Grant Hanley, I think, possibly. Watford centre backs are abysmal. Left back. Kamara's not done too bad for them, but I think we'd have to be Charlie Taylor. Midfield. To be honest, Brownhill. Definitely. Could you make a case for Sissoko?
Basically,
or
who'd you take from Watford? Let's say Pukki, and that's about it. And let's take Ismail Assar, and the rest can just...
To be honest with you, itch. The centre forward from the three teams, yes, would be Pukki. Who else would you want? Ismail Assar? Make a case for Dennis. That's it. The rest is Burnley, I think.
Robin Hung. Which team do you think has overperformed, underperformed the most this season, respectively? Overperformed is Spurs, for sure. Underperformed is Manchester United.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I would have thought that United and Arsenal were more likely at the start of the season to get Champions League than you.
100%.
And so you've 100%. And you've achieved something.
But it's weird, like, In a way, it doesn't feel like we've had Antonio Conte that long, and yet, like, Nuno Santo feels like years ago already. This season.
I think Spurs. No, and it's not a slight. It's just, I think, compared to what I thought you'd get, I never thought you'd get close to Champions League. United, like, shite.
Yeah, case for Leeds as underachievers? Oh, it's got to be Everton, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be Everton.
Darren, what do we do now? Chill, Winston.
Chill, relax. Yeah. Rest the brain, watch some football, or, you know, do some other things. Just relax.
Lamichi, what's wrong with Romelu Lukaku?
What's wrong with Chelsea?
Is Havertz the long-term solution?
None.
Yeah.
No, but maybe Chelsea are just better off just not playing with forwards. It just doesn't seem to work for them, for whatever. Mate, I know people go, oh, Drogba, Costa, is so true. Chelsea, listen, the forwards that Chelsea have had over the last 15 to 18 years or so make a like a fucking Ballon d'Or list out of it near enough, mate. It's unbelievable how many brilliant forwards have gone there and failed. And Lukaku shows no signs to make me think, oh, he's gonna suddenly switch it on next year. And like, even if they change managers, which there's no reason why they would. Nothing to make me think he's gonna switch it on. And I think all of us thought, oh, that's it. That's the missing bit to them to challenge for the title this year, and they haven't.
Gear says, James, did you put any money on Sonny Golden Boot?
No.
Waste, man.
I know.
Call it and don't do it.
I'm not a gambler.
How do you boys finish about this? Feel about the season finishing? It felt like a particularly long one. Agreed.
I didn't want the game to finish yesterday.
I'm glad the season's done. Mr. Scoble, when can you do a podcast Q&A with the great man, Randy Shafter, the Twitter legend? The only time I see Randy Shafter on Twitter is in conversation with Benny Blanco.
Or with himself.
I don't really... Tell me about Randy Shafter.
I can't say anything. I don't know enough.
Okay. But he's just a Twitter comedian?
He sends out some funny tweets sometimes about players underperforming in FPL and stuff, and he calls them all the names under the sun and whatnots. And
nice.
Yeah, that's all I tend to notice now and again.
I'll make an effort to scroll back through his timeline and have a look. But I don't know. Maybe. Paul M. COVID.
That went down
like
a fucking lead balloon, didn't it?
That question. Do we know who Randy Shafter is? Could it be Nathan Scoble?
He's in the North squad. You know that?
Is he?
But I don't think he's playing.
Nah. COVID cancellation is almost surely a thing of the past. No, they're all going to get fucking monkeypox now.
Oh, God. I was reading about that as well. That is horrendous.
Are there lessons?
Stop shagging everyone.
We may have learned. Is it an STD?
I think that, yeah, this monkeypox, the way it can transmit is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The advice I read was, if you're changing sexual partners regularly, then you should be careful, basically. Which obviously is not a problem for me. For Suj, where he's like leaving his toothbrush in various places, is obviously more of an issue.
Oh, mate. Are there lessons that may be learned that won't apply as much as going forward, especially into the 5-sub environment? Should our benches be weaker now? Should we worry less about 2 playing keepers most of the time? Should we try to captain and vice?
At the moment, I wouldn't overly think into this 5-sub thing because Guardiola sometimes don't want to fucking use one, right? So I think all you're going to have is probably a little bit more of later changes in the game. Could it mean that we get managers gamble a bit more early at half time or something like that? Changes, yeah, maybe, possibly, but I don't think it's going to change a great deal, to be totally honest with you. Like, if Tottenham had it recently, Conte's still only making 3 changes because he's got Winks, Bergwijn, Lucas Moura, and 4 or 5 babies on the bench who he doesn't want to use, so wouldn't make that much of a difference.
Jake, of the 17 teams that stayed in the Premier League, does any team need a new managerial? Did need a managerial change this summer? New manager? Maybe Southampton. Maybe Leicester.
No, I don't necessarily think that's right. I just think they probably, and considering Ankerson's in there, they probably will try and do some analysis themselves to understand why does this keep happening to Southampton. Like every year, they go on 1 or 2 spells where they're absolutely terrible, and they also go on a spell where they look like they could genuinely challenge for the top 6. There's got to be something behind why that happens. Maybe it's a fatigue thing down to training or something. I don't know. But I think they just don't need to analyse themselves better. I think in terms of changing it, the thing is, you're Southampton. What do you get that's necessarily better? I'm not sure that you do. No, I think it stays as it is for everybody at this stage.
Duncan Rob John, says, James, I'd love to know how you think Newcastle will get on this season and anyone that could improve their current team.
So we move next season?
Yeah, I guess not. Talked about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's much to add on from what I said on the podcast earlier.
Definitely break top 6 for sure.
No, I think they can. I don't think Newcastle's aim next year should be top 6.
Top 8.
I think if Newcastle don't finish top half, that will be a disappointment. They need to be pushing at it so that when we're sitting here this time next year, that the 6 are really worried. Really, like, they know the following year they're definitely coming through. That's all. Do not have to finish top 6 next year. Let's be honest as well, for Newcastle fans, They've waited 55, 60 years or whatever.
No rush.
Get it right.
Harry G, no question really, but how amazing is football at turning you into an emotional wreck? As a Sunderland fan who was at Wembley, I've never felt emotion like it. Tears and elation. Can't believe we did it. Does James have any thoughts as to who will be in and around the top six in the Championship next season? It's a tough old league, Championship.
Sunderland could certainly be around that. That's not because of anything I've particularly seen. I don't have enough knowledge of them, but obviously they're coming up. There's now a feel-good around the football club, and they're obviously a sizable football club. If they buy intelligently, they've obviously got the support and stuff behind them where they might get themselves in a strong position. I mean, they're going to have the biggest stadium in the Championship by miles, isn't it? I want to say. It's got to be.
Riverside? No.
Riverside, motherfucker. It's not even close, mate.
What's Sunderland's? 40,000?
Sunderland's 48.
Wow, that's a big stadium. Big.
Riverside, motherfuckers. I think whoever doesn't win the playoff final might win that league next year. I think those two teams have both got excellent managers, Forest and Huddersfield, so I think they'll be close. Of the teams going down, Watford have already sorted their managerial issue out. They're probably the best equipped of the three going down, I would think, is probably Watford.
Last question goes to Rob Pick. Has anyone started a support group for Nico, having to look for an infinite amount of content to find the 10 seconds where James tips Son for the golden boot? That's the beauty of this podcast. We chat so much that eventually something comes out.
It's interesting you say that, because when we edited the pod, we both kind of split it in half and we had a look at the podcast with Ricky Saunders from Correspondent Week last year, where I was absolutely certain that I'd said Son will win the golden boot. I didn't. But what I said was, I think if Kane leaves, Sonny might be top FPL point scorer.
Right.
Is what I actually said. So Nico was doing it. I said, Nico, stop, mate. He said, why? I said, it's not in here, mate. I'm telling you. We've just spoken about him, the bit I found. It's not in there. He said, where is it then? And I said, fucking hell, mate. Now we've got a needle in a haystack. I haven't got a clue. Give up. Forget about it.
Right. So that's my fault. Q&A all wrapped up. Patrons, thank you so much for your questions. One more Q&A for you next week. So get your questions still in on Pod Questions. And we'll be back at you tomorrow with a bit of Tottenham. Stay safe. Ciao.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child. Messi, 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 Messi,